Awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. It's written in Ephesians chapter 5. There was something written to the Christian people. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For this reason I say, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." I'm going to ask a question, but I don't want to raise the hands. I want you all to honestly answer it in your mind, and then we'll reference it. But I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, are you on fire for God? See, I asked myself this question a while back. And the answer that I came to was, well, look at yourself and answer that question when we flip over to Revelations. Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. Again, this was written to another church. Picking up in verse 14, it says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witnesses, the beginning of creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." I put some emphasis there because I think that Christ put some emphasis there when he said that. And we take it too lightly sometimes. And that's why I asked that question, because it got a little personal with me when I asked it a while back. I asked, am I on fire for God? And when I took an honest look at myself, I said, I don't know if I am. So I thought about it a little farther, and I said, well, I'm not cold, because I'm showing up here, you know, I'm reading my scripture, I'm doing things. But then I had to ask the question, if I'm not hot, and I'm not cold, where does that leave me on the spectrum? And what does God have to say about that? I mean, does that leave me, am I warm? Am I lukewarm? You know, I thought through it and I said, you know, I know I love God. I know he's a big part of my life. That's when a light bulb went off. God never wanted to be just part of your life. He wanted to be your life. He wants us to be on fire for him. You guys ever seen a fire go unnoticed? See, fire has a unique characteristic about itself. If something's on fire, you're going to notice it. But can the fact that we have Christ living inside us go unnoticed by those people that are around us? If it goes unnoticed, then are we really on fire? He says, I wish that you were cold or hot. See, the scary thing is we can do our Bible reading and we can read that, or we can answer that question in our mind. I'll ask you to go back and reference how he answered that in your mind. And you can say, yeah, I'm not on fire for God. Yeah, maybe I'm just warm. And then we can walk back out those doors and do nothing different than when we came back in. Really? Really? He said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. What's more important? What are we trading it for? Something here on this earth? Read the book of Ecclesiastes lately. The conclusion, there is no joy that lasts on this earth. Let's talk about fire again, though. What happens with a fire if it's not hot? If it's just warm? What's happening with it? Exactly. It's starting to die out. So we have a warning here to us Christian. If we are not on fire for God, we are in danger of burning out. So if we answer this question that we're not on fire for God, or that we came up with a conclusion that maybe we're just warm, but we truly believe in this amazing God that we serve, then the real thing that we need to figure out what to do is, how do we reignite the flame? How do we become on fire? And see, this is not a thing where we just sit around and wait for Kevin or Luke to preach the right message that just revs us up to the point that we want to get on fire again. And it's not up to your husband or your wife to encourage you the right amount so that you ignite again. Now, yeah, there is a lot to be said about building each other up. But it's your personal job to reignite your flame. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not much more in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproached, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. See, a flame puts out light, and it's evident to everything that surrounds it. Think about if you're camping at night and a fire is burning. That can be noticed for miles. Being on fire for Christ should be evident to everyone around you. I'll ask you if you've ever been around somebody, they might not have been on fire for Christ, but they were on fire for something. Was it noticeable? See, fire is noticeable, and someone on fire is noticeable. And then what's fire do to the things around it? Yeah. Catches it on fire. Let's ask it one more way. That question, are you on fire for God? Would those that are closest to you, your family, your friends, would they say you're on fire for God? It's like we said, something on fire is noticeable, and something on fire catches other things on fire. So do people spend time with you and look towards God? Do people spend time with you and then praise God? Or at least leave knowing that we love and serve God? So if we are just lukewarm, and we understand we need to reignite a flame, then how are we going to reignite that flame? Let's turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But in case you're kind of like me, and sometimes you got to be told twice, let's read verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Okay, what's his word? Let's turn back to John chapter 13. Verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Again, in case you're like me and you got to be told twice, let's go back to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 31. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Most of us know the first one. That brings to mind the question, as he said, pretty much we'll fulfill everything if we start loving correctly. And are we loving one another? Now, I've been excited. Luke's been doing a great job preaching some message on love. You know, if you need to, go back and re-listen to those and just see how you can put that into practice. But also, being on fire for Christ looks a lot like being in love with Christ. And it's a question I've asked myself, and it's a question I'll ask you. Are you searching after Christ in the same manner you chased after your husband or your wife when you were chasing after them? And for those of you that are younger that are not quite there yet, are you chasing after Christ in the same manner that you desire that husband or that wife? Are you desiring for Christ that much? You see, when one was asked if he loved Christ, in John chapter 21, what did Christ tell him to do to prove his love? Let's take a look at that. John chapter 21. Picking up in verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." I guess I get a little emotional about it because I've been back around the body for 6 years. And I don't know how I missed such a simple message. But who is the sheep? It's the body of Christ. So if we love God, we take care of each other. Such a simple message, but it's so easy to miss. But are we making sure that we're taking care of the needs of everyone in the church? I mean, all the way down to making sure that everyone has a friend. Now, I know a lot of us are doing this, and this is encouraging to me, and it's really encouraging, and I see a lot of it going on. And most of the people sitting here tonight are doing a great job. But there's a lot of people not sitting here. And they need a friend. They need some help. They need someone who cares. And you know, us that are doing it need some help because we can't truly befriend everybody in the correct manner on our own. And there's a big, big difference between being friendly and being a friend. almost like night and day. And I mean, I'll just say it because I needed a friend not too long ago. And I started asking, and I asked quite a few people. I didn't bluntly ask them, but I asked. And then finally a couple guys got caught on. And they were willing to befriend me, and it helped a lot. So if I need it, I'm sure other people do too. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter if you've been doing it 20, 30 years or if you've been doing it for 6 months. You can be a friend to somebody. A true friend to somebody. You just got to step out of that comfort zone. But I would ask that you take it to the Lord and you pray about it. And you ask Him to direct you to who needs to be, because we have this tendency to be pulled towards people that are like us and that enjoy the same things we do, and that's maybe not who needs the friend. And it doesn't happen to be somebody your age. It can be years between you, because friendship is not defined by years. But if we love God, we'll take care of His flock. We'll tend to the sheep. Now don't sit there and wait to be told what this looks like. Remember, it's up to you to ignite your flame. It's up to you to get to work. You got the directions right here in front of you. We don't want to miss the simple message. So I encourage you, open this book up, but it's an action book. Read and then do. Get busy building your fire. Now, but I kind of see this in this way, that we each have an ingredient that can make. I remember in high school we used to have bonfires, these big things, and I'm sure the neighbors saw them for miles. And we can all have our own little flame, but we also have this thing where we can just make something huge that just really doesn't go unnoticed. And Mike noticed, and you guys probably see it up here, I got some wood here. But on my own, it's going to be pretty hard just to light this on fire. So, I don't know, what's one of the first things we need to make a fire? Who's a mountain person in here? Has anybody got some paper that I could use? Okay. Yeah, I thought somebody might have something. All right. So, to build a fire, you need some paper. And see, this is the way I see it. Like, we have different ingredients in the body and different things that can build this fire and help make it bigger. But in building a fire, I guess I got some paper and I got some wood. But just doesn't look like it's going to be enough to get the job done. What else do we need? Anybody got some matches? See? I thought everybody... You see... We got the ingredients in the church to make this thing big. And to make it big. But see, if we get together and we pull our resources together, we can make something that's really noticeable to people. and it's going to be, it won't go unnoticed. And I can see it starting, and it's kindling. And I think people are starting to notice. But I want to make a fire that lasts. And I want to make a fire that burns bright. So I want to encourage us to continue to fuel each other to make this thing noticeable and to encourage each other to keep going. You see, when you get a fire going and it starts to die out, what do to get it going again? You flame that fire. So my question is, are we flaming each other's fire? Are we helping each other ignite? Now, you can't sit around and wait for somebody to ignite your flame, but you can help fan somebody else's flame. But I brought that word encouragement up, and another point I want to bring out why we're building this flame and this fire is let's make sure we're not hindering it in any way. Because see, we're called the body of Christ. We can also, in Scripture, we're called a temple. And who's our cornerstone? Christ. You know, and in John chapter 17, he prayed that we would have a unity like I'm talking about. And we're working on building that unity. And let's keep on being builders and building each other up. You know, and as we're building, though, we got to think about this. Like, to build something in the... You know, if you're just going to build like a garage, that's not as complicated as a house. How quickly are you going to build that if you just spend, what do we spend at church every week? 4 hours? How fast is that garage going to get built if you only spend 4 hours around each other a week? It's going to take a while. I don't know about you, but I want this thing built a little quicker than that. So it's going to take a little bit more time around each other. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." There's that word build again. So like I said, I want to encourage us to build and not to hinder in any way, not to tear down. So one thing, and Luke definitely hit it really good this morning, but we got to be careful with our words. Because you see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." And I read this all the time and I understood that I was a temple of God. But you see, somebody twisted this a little bit for me and said, "Do I not understand that Levi is a temple of God? Do I not understand that Brad Shaw is a temple of God?" And then, you see, that's where it comes in. We're like, we got to be careful with what we say about our brother and our sister, because if they're a temple of God, And there a stone in this temple that God is building, and then I say something bad about my brother and my sister, what am I doing to the temple of God? That's what your words just did to your brother or your sister. I know a lot of you are concerned about the mess. I'll clean it up. But are you concerned about destroying the temple of God? That's the point I want to make. Or are we more concerned about that? See, we get too distracted on things of this world and the way people act towards us that we can... God, I mean, Satan can use distraction. And he'll definitely use, like, there's a word that the scripture uses in Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, Titus chapter 3 verse 10 says, reject a fractious man after a first and second warning. That word fractious, not too many of us are familiar with. Other versions would say divisive. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But what that means is tending to cause a disagreement or hostility between people. And you see, that's where we got to be careful with our words, is because when we speak bad about a brother or a sister, we cause this division. And that's something that Satan definitely wants, and he uses. And it's not, there's no building. There's no building in that. So in love, I would encourage, if you get caught up in a conversation like that, just to remind another, do you realize what you're doing right now? Do you realize that you're destroying the temple of God? You're tearing down the temple of God. Your words are tearing apart God's body. And I know some of my words were direct, and because they hit me directly when I heard them. And to steal from somebody else, I'll say, I guess I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. Because I was aiming for the heart. But I want to be surrounded by those that are on fire. And there are a lot of good people here. And I want to build something, a fire that's noticeable and that's going to last. And I want to encourage other people because I missed it for so long. So I'm just hoping that maybe if you're just sitting there lukewarm, that maybe I blew a little wind on your spark. And then maybe you'll catch on fire. Or maybe you can spend some time around somebody, somebody will encourage you, or some of those that aren't here will encourage them so that they will catch on fire. Because that's a tendency to happen. If you yourself is on fire and you spend time around somebody else, fire catches things on fire. It just does. So let's build this unity together, and let's flame each other's fires. If you see somebody just kind of going out, give them a little boost. Encourage them with their words. With your words. But if none of that happens, I still encourage you, don't sit around and wait. you be the fire starter.